This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Consider How great thou art, sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou
great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of kings calls me. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Lost its grip on me. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Thank you. wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. You have no rival, you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the
powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you've sent your Son for us to die at the cross, that we can be forever and ever with you. Father, I pray that this afternoon that we can become aware again the example of what we've got in Jesus Christ, what he has done, that the disciples were with him, Father. And we can read what Jesus has been saying, and we can also read what the disciples have been doing. But I pray, Father, that this afternoon that we're going to experience it through the Holy Spirit, your presence, that we become quiet, and that we can sing along as what we're singing just now, our powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Father, as we are busy this afternoon with you, I bind any unclean spirit. I bind all the powers of the enemy over here. You're not going to come and disturb the sermon. You're not going to distract the people. And we can focus, Father. And we can look to you. And we can seek your face and listen to you. And you want to share with us this afternoon. And we can understand it. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. and the example that he has given to us. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is the last time that I'm preaching this year. Maybe I'm preaching tomorrow a little bit to Renee, but over here in the church, it's the last time that I'm preaching today, so we're not going to have a sermon tomorrow. So what we've decided to do is, we're not going to announce that we've got a sermon tomorrow. We're just going to carry on till tomorrow. We're going to have a sermon continuously. We've got a worship team over here. We've already cancelled your tickets. We've transferred it already to next year. Don't worry about it now. I'm making a joke about it. It's for me so awesome again when we're singing and worshiping and being together with people from Christ, with people who are following Christ, that we can come together and that we can, all of us from different places, we've got one thing in common. We want to follow God, nothing else, because that's the most important. And last week when I was preaching about hallowed be your name, how important it is that we put God first. Not the other things, but God first. And once we've put God first, then we can go. Then we can go to the other things. Then we can come, and then we can say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we can come with our shopping list, and then we can say, okay, God, this is the things what we need. But we first have got to give honor and glory to God, his name first. Ian, you maybe can show me that first part of the Our Father. Later on, we're going to come back again to that one. But I'm just trying to, that you just keep this one in mind and just put it on the back burner then. And when I prayed and when I asked where do I have to preach about, then God said, look up. Okay. And it's a little bit of a different thing to make a sermon, but as I was busy, God is just each and every time giving, and I enjoyed it to put the things together and to get this sermon correctly to what I feel what the Lord wants to share with us this afternoon, where he wants to speak about what is important, what we've got to talk about. We've got a few different looks. It's because there's now look up when we're going to look up. We've been singing it just now as well. One at the end of 2018, which is quite common, is look back. We look back at 2018 and say, okay, what happened in 2018? What were the good things? What were the bad things? What is something what we don't want to happen again in 2019? What are the things what we say? The whole 2019 can please be filled with that. We also heard the testimonies on the 25th when we were over here. We had more dessert as what we had main meal, but it doesn't matter. The testimonies were also awesome to hear what the people experienced in 2018, how it was that they could testify about it, what God has done in their lives, and that they could grow closer to God. And that's what we're doing on a Sunday over here. We're reminding you people of getting closer to God. And 2018 for Shofar was an awesome year. Spiritually, I felt that it was something like we were changing gears. Something moved. Something changed. I can't really say on a specific date or a time or anything like that, but something has changed. We moved into a newer type of a gear and in a new type of speed, if I can put it that way. And it's awesome to see and to hear and to speak and listen to how things are prayed over and spoken and what we hear from God when we're busy with intercession as well, how God is communicating with us. And if I was going to ask who actually has grown spiritually in 2018, most probably some of you are going to raise your hand, and that's exactly what we would like to do, that we're going to grow, that we come closer to God. Karlinki just now mentioned about the intercession. It was a few weeks back, 2 or 3 weeks back, when God spoke to us and said, you've been cycling 7 times around Utrecht, and you claimed Utrecht for God, but I'm asking you now to walk around Utrecht. And God spoke to us and said, we've got to divide it in 7 parts because we've got more or less 7 intercessors which are coming together on a regular basis and seeking God's face. So we splitted it up in 7. The first 5 stages we did on the Sunday when there was snow. So we started in the morning at 9 o'clock It was white, perfect. It was God-given. We could experience, but this was something that there was an appointment with God that morning. It was so clear. And as we walked, I had the privilege to walk with Urbanus, and he was carrying the white flag. And as we were walking, the animals were turning around and having a look at us. They could feel it in the spirit that something was happening. And it's awesome to experience that. We did the last two stretches. We did them last Wednesday. And so we are finished now. Something has changed in the spirit realm. I don't know what, but we were obedient. We did what God asked us to do. And we claimed Utrecht for God. We said, this is your area, and we want to have God Utrecht back again, is what I just now shared with the offering as well, to the place what it initially was, that we can go back to, because Utrecht was the first place where Christianity was in the Netherlands. It came from England. And I don't want to say anything about the English people, but at least they brought the Christianity over here. And sorry, John. They brought a Christianity over here, and Utrecht was the place where evangelists have been raised. Andrew Murray in South Africa came over here, and he studied over here, and he went back again, and other great names as well. And that we can pray, and that we can see that things are going to happen again, that Utrecht can become again a place where evangelists can be trained and go all over the world and bring the message that Jesus is our Savior. The next one, the look back, is the look around. Now, that's something where we are very good at. We always look around to see what are the other people's comments, what are the other people saying about it, what am I wearing, do they like it, don't they like it, what am I doing, are they approving it, are they rejecting it, what is the comments, what we're getting out of it. We're quite used to it. And we see it also with deliverance, that many times that this is one of the problems what people have got, that they feel rejected because people were not talking to them. They were not giving them feedback. They didn't hear what they actually wanted to hear. And sometimes they're looking for people high up who are giving them certain comments, so they are, yeah, I should say, they're looking for it, but they're not getting it, and then they're disappointed. We'll get to that one just now. And if we take a look at the world around us, and the whole world is doing nothing else than looking for approval from other people. I was fortunate to get some statistics, and I don't know if you can get that one, Ian, that one slide which is showing all those different clocks. Because the print is too small over here, I can't read it over here. In 2016, approximately 2 billion people on this earth used social media. Approximately 2 million of 2 billion. And what did they, where they spend their time on is where we can see over here. So roughly 40 minutes on YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, which is maybe the WhatsApp over here, the Instagram and the Twitter. The Twitters, maybe all the Twitters from Trump, that's maybe making up their time over there. But this is how much time that people are spending over there on social media. They say in 2017, the internet user approximately used 135 minutes per day on internet. If we go to the next slide, and if we take those information of 2017 and we would put it in years, it means that the people are sitting in front of the TV approximately 7 years of their life, of an average lifestyle. They're 7 years in front of the TV. 5 years they are busy on social media. 3 years they're eating and drinking. Nothing wrong with it. I think that one must be first. Grooming, it doesn't specify male or female. So that one, fill in the open dots. Socializing, approximately 1 year, doing the laundry 6 months. It doesn't say anything about washing the car or doing the dishes. That's not in the category. But what I'm trying to show you over there is that people are looking around and trying to spend time and trying to get approval and trying to slot in. But they're looking around. they're not looking up. If they start looking up, these type of statistics should be totally wrong. Because I think for a Christian, we can't have those type of statistics. But we know, all of us, if we are in the bus or in the train, we see it. The ears are in, the phone is on, they're continuously busy with the social media. So now we come to the one where I want to talk about this afternoon, and that is look up. And then in a Bible Gateway, you can punch in the word, and then it will tell you where in the Bible you can actually find it. And I was surprised. Only a few times we actually find it in the Bible, look up. And then the two which what I wanted to talk about this afternoon is, the one is first is with David. David understood it. David is starting his morning with looking up. In Psalm 5 verses 3, he says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." That's how he starts his day. He starts his day with the Lord. He looks up. And at looking up, if we take a look at the meaning of the word, it is like watching, it's like waiting, it is like with looking up with an expectation, something is coming. But he starts his day with it. That's the example what David puts over here, that we start the day by looking up. And then the one which is our big, big example is Jesus. He looked up. And when Jesus is looking up, when we take a look at a few different verses, then he was looking up, acknowledging God, acknowledging his Father. He was giving honor to him. And he was asking God, "What is your will? What do you want me to do? And let your kingdom come." So there we can see the few first verses, the first lines of the Our Father. That's how Jesus was looking up to the Father. We are followers of Christ, so we take a look at what Christ has been doing, and we want to imitate him. We want to be Christians, followers of Christ. That's what we want to do. And I'm linking up a little bit now what Mark has just now been sharing with us, is that if we are in a process of transformation, if we are in a process of growing closer to God, then we've got to make a decision if we want to be introvert, to look at ourselves and be self-centered, meaning that we're continuously looking at ourselves, or are we going to follow Christ and follow his example? There's nothing wrong that we're going to examine ourselves, and there's nothing wrong that we're going to repent of things what we're doing wrong. But if we're going to be continuously busy with that, then we're basically not being used by God for building his kingdom. Charles Spurgeon had an example over there of, if a person is continuously looking at himself and a fault finding and getting in a certain way even maybe negative, it's like a shopkeeper who closes his shop because he's afraid that he's not going to sell anything. He's going to his back room and he's going to take stock of all the things he hasn't sold. That's not what our life should be, our Christian life. If we want to have transformation, then we are seeking God and we're following him. And then continuously, we're going to praise God for what he's doing in our lives. And like he said as well, he said, "Forget yourself and think only on Christ." We're not going to be perfect before we're going to do something, because otherwise I wouldn't have also been not standing over here. We've got to move. We've got to think, as has got to be done. There's not much time left anymore. I now want to read a miracle which I feel with the Lord wants to speak to us today about, and it's the miracle of sharing the bread and the fish for the 5,000. And I'm reading it out of Mark. And I want to start with Mark 6 verses 12 to 13. I'm quickly going through, and then I'm going to go back and then go one by one. The people were coming back. The disciples have been sent out. And then it says, "And so they went out and preached that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So there we can see what Jesus has been saying to his disciples, what they had to do. They had to go out, they had to preach, people should repent, cast out the demons if necessary, and anoint with oil that the sick can be healed. And this is what they did. And then in Mark, the next part is going about John the Baptist, which was beheaded. So why that part is in it, I don't know. But then it jumps to Mark 6, verse 30, and then it carries on. And then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So now he's referring, they are referring basically to the 12 and 13, what we just now read. And he, that's Jesus, then said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. 12 disciples, male people, no time to eat, no good. You must eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran therefore on foot from all the cities, and they arrived before them. So even before Jesus arrived over there, and they came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And when the day now was far spent, his disciples came then to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered, and he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give something to them to eat?" But he said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And they found out, and he said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. They sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he had divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now these who were eaten, the loaves, were 5,000 men. We don't know how many women, we don't know how many children were there, so it's 5,000. If we take 5 breads and 5,000, you don't need a lot of mathematics, it means 1 bread for 1,000 people. A miracle has happened over here, because we read that it was more than enough. I would like to go back again to the beginning. First again to Mark 6, 12 and 13. What they did, they went out and preached the gospel. They cast out demons and anointed with oil that many who were sick and healed them. They were doing the basic things, what Jesus told them to do. And if Jesus told the disciples to do, it's also applicable for us. If we are followers of Christ, we've got to do exactly the same. We've got to go out and preach. We've got to send out demons. And we've got to anoint people and pray for healing. We've got to do that. And now they came back, and they were excited of what they had done and what they had taught them over there. And then Jesus said to them, "Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while." And I can say, and there's most probably in you in the congregation over here as well, who also can testify of it, that if you've been spiritually busy, it eats of your energy. You get quickly tired, and you need type of a rebuild. Protein is a very important thing, so my wife always has got some meat or some eggs or some protein as a type of a standby if deliverance has been done or anything like that, because it's necessary. Jesus is doing them over here as well. And he said, let's go to a deserted place and rest a while. And for there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. And like I said, that's not good, because they didn't have time. They couldn't rebuild. They just now came back from Anilikensei mission. They came back. They couldn't rest. Couldn't eat. They couldn't gain the strength again because of the people coming again. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. And I didn't want to put in all the effort, but if you take a look at the lake, where they went, and then the people walked around, how many miles, they're talking about approximately 20 miles, which would be 38 kilometers, that the people walked, and then they were waiting for them over there, that Jesus came. And they arrived before them and came to them. And Jesus, when he came out, saw the multitude and was moved with compassion for them. So when Jesus saw the people, he was moved with compassion. And this is how we've got to take a look at people as well. When we take a look at the people in Utrecht, we should be moved with compassion. And those visiting from other places, if you're in your area, and if you take a look at the people, the unbelievers, you should be moved with compassion. That those people need something. Because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. They didn't know about Jesus. They couldn't follow Jesus. They didn't hear about Jesus yet. And they were lost. We've got them here in Utrecht as well. And then Jesus, he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Jesus had compassion for the people. He was preaching. The disciples wanted to get them and chase them away. He says, let them go. We also need our quiet time, but let them go, because they haven't got bread. It's just one complicated problem. Let's just get rid of them. But then Jesus says something to them. But he answered and he said to them, you give them something to eat. Jesus is saying that to us as well in Utrecht, spiritual. We've got to give them something to eat in Utrecht here and in the places where you're coming from. It's our duty. It's the instruction of Matthew 28. We've got to give them something to eat. But the disciples were very quick with the reaction. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? This is most probably all the money what they had in their pockets. Everyone emptied this pocket, and they maybe had a type of a money box as well and counted the money. That's more or less what they had. How much it actually is, it doesn't matter. At least it's not enough to take all the people to a McDonald's or anything like that. No, it's not possible. And there's also not a McDonald's over there, because it's a deserted place. And then they come with the objection again, with that what God is telling them to do, what Jesus is telling them to do, and then they reject. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. A little bit more of the description of what type of bread actually they found, we can read in John. And it was a type of bread which wasn't very, I should say, high type of quality bread or anything like that. It was quite a normal piece of bread, what they found. 5 of them plus 2 fish. And we already did the calculation, which means 1 bread for 1,000 people. Little bit difficult to do that spread. And then Jesus commanded them and to make them sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks of hundreds and in fifties. Why in those type of groups? We don't know. It doesn't really say why, where. And then he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he looked up to heaven. That's where the power, that's where the energy is coming from. From God, the Creator. And by looking up, he's acknowledging God. God is the Creator. God is his Father. He looked up to heaven, blessed which is quite common with the Jewish people as well, before the meal, to speak a blessing over the meal. We do it at our house as well. And I'm quite adamant with it. So if some people are visiting us and they start eating without we've been asking the blessing, then I'll stop them. I'll take the plate away and I say, first wait. We first pray and then we're going to eat. First want to speak a blessing over it. Blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them. So they all ate and were filled. And he took up the 12 baskets full of fragments and the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000. It says over here, Jesus broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. If you take a look at those two words, broke the loaves, it basically means it's a single handling. You break it and it's finished. But then the word gave, it means it's a continuous giving. There's no end to it. He was breaking and he was giving. It carried on. And it went on continuously. And the two fish he divided among them. And then they ate all and were filled. Okay, now we come to a little bit of a logistical problem over here. We've got one Jesus who's breaking the bread. We've got 12 disciples who are spreading the bread over 5,000 men. I'm not talking about the women and the children. Maybe that's, they were not there yet. Sometimes they talk about it that the figure is including men and women. Doesn't matter, 5,000. Now those who are working for logistical firms and who know a little bit about distribution will say, you've got a problem over here. How are you going to do it? And as I was busy with it, and I couldn't understand it, and God showed it to me. Jesus was breaking the bread, putting it in the basket what the people had. And then the baskets what the people had is what was common for them to have with them. We nowadays have got the rucksack, which we know, where you've got your personal belongings in it. But the Jewish people at that time, the disciples as well, had a type of a basket with them. It was a type of a woven basket, the smallest type of thing, where they had their personal belongings in it, and sometimes even put their hay in it, where they were sleeping on. So it was a type of a rucksack, backpack, with everything in it. They also kept it with them so that it couldn't mix then with other, that you've got ceremonial pollutions or anything like that. What God showed me is that the disciples went, and they went with that basket. They went to Jesus. And Jesus filled it up. And as the disciples were walking through the 5,000 people, it didn't get any less. The miracle continued. The miracle with Jesus started, carried on with the disciples. It didn't stop. And it's with us exactly the same. Jesus is starting the miracle. And we've got to carry on with the miracle. We're not bringing the miracle from one place to the other, but we are the people through whom the miracle continuously can carry on. There's no beginning and there's no end. It carries on and it carries on. So when they were finished, they came back. And then they counted 12. The 12 disciples. The 12 baskets. And they were full. They were exactly full, the same as what they started with it. And I was so amazed. And I thought, Lord, how? How does it actually work? And this is how God wants to work with us. If we've got Jesus as our example, then we can go with our basket and he can fill it up. And we can go with that basket through this world and we can bring the miracles to whatever it has got to be needed. We'll come back to that one just now. Because time is getting less. There's not much time left. Each and every day is a day left. Or if it's a day less, what we've got, what we can share the gospel, that we can make a difference in other people's lives, that we can visit the neighbor, that we can pray for somebody. Each and every day is one less. And the other look up is when Jesus was speaking to them. And Jesus said to them in Luke 21, verses 28, "Now when these things began to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draw near." And it starts a little bit earlier in 7 already, but they said, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will the signs be when these things are going to take place?" And if we take a look at the signs, what are mentioned over there, then if we were going to put a tick list behind it, we must probably going to make a tick everywhere, because all those things, we can see them nowadays. First thing, what we can, if you've got time, read it at home. It is Luke 21, it starts at verse 7. "For many will come in my name." And we hear it. A lot of people are coming. If we take a look at, even in the churches, how many people are coming and they're saying, "But we've got to do this way, it has got to be done that way," where they cannot substantiate it or what's actually written in the word. Where it says, where you hear of wars and commotions, we hear it. Switch on the TV. Like you see, we switch on the TV so many hours per day. Have a look at it at the news. Then we see the wars and the commotions which are happening. It's all there. "Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms." We know that. "Great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences." We see them everywhere. "Fearful sights and great signs from heaven. They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up from the synagogue and prison. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you for an occasion for testimonies." And this is what I want to say as well. If we're going to be prosecuted, if we're going to become at a place, it's going to be a place where we can testify what God has done for us, that Jesus died for our sins. "You will be betrayed, even by your parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." And if I'm going to ask, there will be a few people here in the hall which can lift their hands that they say they've got a very bad relationship with a family member as a result of you being a believer. You standing firm on what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you, which is unacceptable for your family member. And now they hate you. They don't want to have any relationship with you. "There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring. The powers of heaven will be shaken." Now when these things begin to happen, the things which we can see around us, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We haven't got much time. We've got to start. We've got to carry the message. We've got to anoint the people that they can be healed. And as I was busy with the sermon, I felt that the Lord said to me, "Get a basket for each and every one." So me and Renee, we went into Seist, bought all the baskets what we could get. So there's a different variety over there. And I'm going to ask you to take a basket, symbolizing the basket what the disciples had. And that we're going to pray that God is going to fill that basket. And when you take that basket home, and when you're going to place it, or you place it at your office or anything like that, that each and every time you see that basket, it reminds you of the basket which the disciples had, where they went to Jesus, where the basket was filled, and then the miracle started. Because then they walked around, and the people got out of that basket, but the basket didn't get empty. It multiplied continuously. And this is how our lives can be. Miracle after miracle. If we can believe that, if we are prepared to hold up the basket to receive from Jesus, that we can make a difference in other people's lives. And I'm going to invite you. I think more or less enough. Go and get one of those baskets. Then we're going to pray together. Because when I was busy with the sermon as well, and then I started crying. I saw this hall over here with angels around. The angels were flying around, and we were standing with baskets over here, and the angels were filling the baskets, all of them. It was so, I said, "Lord, you're awesome, you're great, that you're sharing that with us, that you want to use us. For God, if he can create heaven and earth in 6 days, and it's just like this, and everything is done, but God wants to work through each and every one of us. Doesn't matter what condition you are, God wants to work through us. But are we prepared to pick up the basket and go to God, to Jesus, and say, fill up, that the miracles can flow through me? Am I prepared to do that or not? The baskets are here, and I'm going to invite you. I hope that there are going to be enough baskets. Take a basket, and then we're going to pray. Because then we're going to pray, and you maybe can show it, Ian, that first part of Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God is giving us that bread, that spiritual bread, that we can make a difference in other people's lives. And then that His will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. That His kingdom can come and that His name can be glorified. I'm inviting you. Please come and get a basket for you. The baskets, what they had is most probably a type of a woven basket. So me and Renee were a little bit critical yesterday to see what type of baskets we could get. And those were the ones which we could get. Even if you people, I know that you're flying back again tomorrow, even if you want to take one, just as a type of a symbol, if you want to pray along with us, please come. And you can put it afterwards back again, I don't mind. You can take for all three of you, you can take one, I don't mind. And if you want to afterwards as well, take one home. And if there are going to be a few left, then Geoffrey, I'm going to ask you to take those along. And next time with your small group, then talk about it and pray about it as well. I'm going to ask you to stand. Heavenly Father, we can only glorify your name for who you are. You're the creator of heaven and earth. You've made everything what we can see, and even the things what we cannot see, but what we know who are there, what is there, has been made by you. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you that you are the creator of heaven and earth, that you love us so much that you've sent your Son, and that Jesus was on this planet for 3 years. And Father, that you also showed to us that there's a Shofar Church. We've been for 3 years more now in Utrecht over here. You've led us, Father. You've shown us that we move now into that next phase where we're going to make a difference. Difference in the people around us. Difference at the places where we work. And Father, if we take a look at the example of what Jesus has said, with giving bread to his disciples, and that the disciples could hold their baskets, and that Jesus filled them, and that the disciples went and they gave to the people, but it didn't become less. It continued to be a full basket. Father, we're holding out a basket now, and we pray that you're going to fill each and every basket, Father, with your precious spiritual bread, Father, that these baskets can be used to overflow to other people in the house, in the street, at work, in this town, maybe in another town where we're coming from. Father, but that this basket is going to symbolize each and every time that we look at it, that we've got to look up and say, Father, this is your baskets which you've given to us. Fill it up, that I can go, that I can make a difference, because that's what you want me to be, that I can make a difference in this place, that those people who are hungry, that I can give them bread, that those people who are spiritually hungry, that I can give them something which is going to fill their needs, that they're not going to have look around and get recognition from other people, but that they also can stand next to us and look up and say, God is awesome, and that we can receive from you. Thank you that you're filling these baskets, Father, and thank you that we can pray each and every day, give us this day our daily bread, that your will can be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven, that your kingdom can come, Father, and that your name will be glorified, that your name will be hallowed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are at the end of 2018. If you maybe can just show the next one, Ian. And I'm going to ask you now to pray together, two, male, female, preferably that you do not know each other. And just first have a look back at 2018. Share with the other person. What was the good thing or maybe a bad thing that happened in 2018? It doesn't matter. Just share it. But then for 2019, which is starting in 2 days, that we're going and that we say, this is the miracle, what I'm trusting God for, which is going to happen in 2019. That you can share it and that you can pray it in and that you can speak a blessing over each other. And this is a precious time. Use it. That we can start praying about it, that we can start speaking it in, that we can start praying it in of the miracles to happen over here in Utrecht or the place where you are staying. That God's kingdom can come and that His will can be done.
You are the bread of life, the fountain of living water. Jesus, you satisfy. We will not look to thank you.
bread of life, fountain of living water. Jesus, you satisfy, and we will not look to another. In your is my reward and all of my devotion. Now there's nothing in this world that could ever satisfy. Through every trial, my soul will sing, no turning.
held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and was to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess my faith, what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, you're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering. In your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my own. You're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all. You're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, you're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, you're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Give me Jesus.
Forever,
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.